You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Jets podcast. Great to have you with us today. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it on iTunes or Spotify, and please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Just a little programming note, due to personal commitment, we're not going to have shows early next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm just not going to be able to do a show, so unfortunately you'll have to get by without a post-game podcast on Monday or, you know, a crossover Wednesday show. Just not able to do it, so apologies for that. So just don't be on the lookout for a show early next week. We should be back Thursday, though, to get ready for the heading into Buffalo, the Buffalo game. We'll do a couple shows late next week. So thanks for bearing with me on that one. Again, just a personal thing. Not a big deal, but nothing for you to be worried about. It's just I can't physically do a show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week due to a personal commitment. But we are here today to preview Week 9 between the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. So the Jets' annual trip to South Florida, they'll play on Sunday, and we'll keep our normal format. I'll give you one key player, one key matchup, and one key to victory on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. So I'll begin with my key player. And on offense, I'm going to go with Jermaine Kearse. And I think the reasons for that are rather obvious. This is a Jets wide receiving core that's been depleted by injuries and the release of Terrell Pryor, which the Jets continued to claim was about injuries, although he just signed with Buffalo this week. And I don't know that you cut a player because he got hurt if you really want that guy around. I remain skeptical on that front. I don't know why the Jets keep insisting it was because he was injured. If you cut a guy, it's because you don't want him. It's not because you can deactivate a player if he's injured. You don't need to cut him, as the Jets are doing with Quincy Enunwa, as they've done with Robbie Anderson. So, you know, I'm a little confused at that. But, you know, you started this year, and even if the Jets lacked a truly dynamic go-to guy, there were four credible NFL receivers on this roster of varying degrees of quality. And Kearse was one of them. And Kearse is the only guy left standing right now because of the injuries to Anderson and Enunwa and the release of Pryor. So Kearse is the last of the four who is still standing. He's the last of the four the Jets can still count. It could be that Anderson's back, but the practice injury report this week suggested if he plays, he's still going to be bothered by that injury. So you might be dealing with an Anderson at less than 100%, which again increases the importance of Jermaine Kearse. And in last week's game, it was not pretty. He was very limited. He had 3 catches and 10 targets, and it was noticeable to me. It just seemed like he was having trouble getting separation. I mean, there was a number, I think there were 3 balls that hit him in the hand that were contested catches. I mean, it was in traffic, but you need your receiver to help your young quarterback out a little bit, and Kearse just didn't do it. So this week the Jets need Kearse to play better. That's just, this offense is not going to work with Enunwa out, with Anderson banged up. This offense is not going to work if Kearse doesn't produce, and we know he's capable of throwing up a good game like he did against the Colts. You know, he's capable. I mean, the thing about Kearse is that while he's capable of throwing up good games, he's inconsistent. You know, he was inconsistent last year. I mean, there were some weeks where he played really well and some weeks where he was almost invisible. And that's the reason Kearse is, you know, not really considered a big-time receiver in this league. He's a guy who's a professional receiver. He understands how to read coverages. He understands how to find the soft spot in the zone. He understands the depth he's supposed to run his routes out. On a third down play, you rarely see him do something foolish like cut his route short of the sticks. He'll do the smart things, but you also see that he's a rather limited receiver. He doesn't deliver consistently. He's very up and down from week to week, and last week he was having a lot of trouble against the Bears beating coverages. It was kind of a struggle for him, and he was having trouble making catches in traffic, and those are two things that you want, more of your go-to receiver to be able to do. And we know Kearse is not a go-to receiver in this league. You don't want him to be your go-to receiver over the course of a 16-game season, but for a 1 to 2 week stretch, that's what the Jets are going to need, assuming this Anderson injury. And with the bye coming up, you'd assume you'll get Enunwa and Anderson back. probably I'm just prognosticating here. I'm just speculating. I would expect Ndamukong and Anderson to be back after the bye, just because, you know, that's what, 3 weeks. You know, the game after the bye is 3 weeks away. So I would expect that you'll see them back in rather short order in terms of games. So, but for this week, Kearse needs to step up. That's what the Jets need. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, my key player is going to be Darren Lee, and that's because, and mainly because, the Dolphins like to use Kenyon Drake a lot as a receiver. He's actually their second leading receiver this season in terms of receptions. He has 27. The only guy with more receptions is Danny Amendola with 35. So Drake is a guy. So I think that with a back like Drake, Lee is probably going to draw the primary defensive assignment. And you look at the season Lee's having, there are still some issues with his game. I mean, there are just too many big run plays or touchdowns where I see the balls going to his gap, the gap he's assigned to, and he's getting wiped out. But I will say this for Lee, it does seem like he's kind of taken a step forward as a pass defender, as a guy in coverage, which, you know, is a good sign. I mean, that's the biggest reason I think the Jets drafted him. I think the, you know, the secondary reason might be that he's you know, explosive and Todd Bowles likes to blitz the A gaps. But I do feel like Lee is taking a step forward in coverage this season, which is a good thing. You know, again, there are still some issues with his game, and it feels to me like every time I'm about to declare Darren Lee is like really moving forward, Darren Lee is really getting me excited, there's a big play that goes against him. But I think it's also good that you're seeing a young player progress. You're seeing a young player grow, because we talked about over the offseason, this was really an important year for Lee. This was, you know, in many ways a make or break season. And I'm not ready to say he's made it all the way yet, but you're seeing signs of progress. And you know, you saw it that opening night in Detroit where he had the pair of interceptions, and you know, it was good, but I was a little skeptical because interceptions come and go. You know, you can't really judge. It's never a good idea to judge defensive players on interceptions, because there's so much that goes into an interception that a defensive player doesn't control. So yeah, there's a little element of luck. So I was wondering, well, was that just a fluky game? And I think Lee's played pretty well in coverage this year. So I think, you know, I think that he'll, and look, he'll also have assignments in the run game against these Miami backs. He'll need to play pretty well there. But I think more than anything, I look at Lee, and I see this matchup with Kenyon Drake being really important. I think he's going to draw it. So I think Lee is my guy on defense. We're here today on Locked On Jets. We're previewing Week 9 of the NFL season. The Jets will be down in Miami on Sunday facing the Dolphins, trying to end a two-game losing streak, and we're previewing the game. Now let's look at key matchups. And on the offensive side of the ball, my key matchup is Isaiah Crowell against this Miami front seven. And, you know, Crowell's the guy who, along with Kearse, the Jets are really going to lean on as they try and get through this lean period with injuries. And, you know, unlike Kearse, I don't think that Crowell's partner is going to be back anytime soon, since the Jets placed Bilal Powell on injured reserve. So, you know, Kearse maybe has 1 or 2 weeks where he really needs to elevate his game before he's going to get help. Crowell and Powell were like kind of like a tandem in the backfield. Crowell's not going to get his partner back, so this might be for the rest of the year. Crowell is going to need to step up. And I think at this point you'd have to say that the signing was not a failure. I don't think you could say the signing of Crowell has been an out-and-out failure, but I do think you'd have to say it's been kind of disappointing. Crowell has essentially been a feast or famine player, and I talk about this a lot, is that I think that there's a range of volatility within players in the NFL. You have your guys who go out and are steady week to week to week, and then you have your guys who either play spectacular or they play terribly. And, you know, a guy on we'll talk about another one of those guys on the other side of the ball when we get to our defensive key matchup. And that's been the case of Crowell. Crowell has been a high volatility, high variability player for this team this year. He's had two big games and then two games where he's done nothing. Now, it hasn't helped that the offensive line has been just as up and down as Crowell. I mean, this unit, there have been games where this unit has struggled to run block. I don't think there's any question about that. And the run game is part blocking, part the back. But I do think, to an extent, Crowell has not helped himself in some of his struggle games, because I think that, you know, there have been moments where I've noticed that he had an open hole to run through and he took another option. And I hesitate to say that, because sometimes when you're evaluating how a running back is doing in terms of which hole he's hitting. There can be optical illusions. There might be a guy who can use leverage to close up a hole if the back takes it through there. There may be a hole that hasn't opened yet that is about to open. So I say that with some degree of hesitation, but I do think it's – I've seen it enough that I do believe it's true. So the Jets just need more – you know, the Jets need more out of Crowell. They need more consistency out of Crowell because the Jets are not going to be able to – lean on Bilal Powell when Crowell is having a rough week anymore. You know, that they used to be able to. Now that Powell's injured, they can't, and they don't. I mean, they have some guys on the roster who will give Crowell a break, but I think at this point Crowell is the number one back for this football team. So Jets are going to need him to step up. Jets are going to need him to produce, and the, you know, in this game and every game the rest of the year, because I think you're. Not, you know, I'd be surprised if you saw Bilal Powell again. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with another high volatility, high variability player. And it's a guy who's had a rough couple games against the Dolphins, and that's Buster Skrine. And you may remember that game in Miami last year where the Dolphins just went after him, and then he did not play so well week two this year. He's back in the lineup, gave up a touchdown last week. So, you know, guy who... Unfortunately for Skrine, the good games tend to happen far less frequently than the terrible games. And the Dolphins' number one receiver is Danny Amendola, a slot receiver. Skrine, of course, is a slot corner, so I think that you'll see him targeted quite a bit. I think that Skrine's an important player for the Jets in this game. You know, that game in Miami, the Jets have had, the Jets had a terrible loss in Miami last year. The Jets have had two straight terrible losses in their trips to Miami. That game in 16 was just awful as well. But you know, you can make a case that Skrine lost the Jets that game last year in Miami. And again, he didn't play that well in the first meeting between these teams in 2018. So the Jets are going to need more out of him. And you know, you look at this Dolphins offense, especially with, you know, and it looks like Brock Osweiler is going to be under center once again. You know, is he going to look to the slot? Is he going to look to his running backs? You know, is he a guy who's going to be able to make reads? I'm not convinced of that. So, I think that you'll see him lean on Amendola. I think you'll see him lean on Drake, and the key players are, you know, I mentioned Lee as one of my key players for the Drake matchup. Now I'm mentioning Skrine as the key player for my Amendola matchup. I don't think, you know, I think. If Buster Skrine plays well in this game, you know, if he goes out there and has a really solid game, the Jets are going to have a tremendous chance to win this football game. If he doesn't play well, you know, if he hasn't, well, I mean, let's forget about it. If he plays the way he did against Miami last year, the Jets have no chance. You know, if he's going to go get toasted on every play, you can forget about it. The Jets can't win the game. But if he doesn't play well, if he just has a regular bad game, it complicates things for the Jets. It makes this game more difficult to come out on top. So, Skrine, you know, I think that this is a really important matchup because if the Jets can stifle Drake with Lee and if they can stifle Amendola with Skrine, and I'm not saying they will, I'm saying if they can, I don't know where Miami's going to turn to get its offense. You know, I think that this becomes a much more difficult game for the Miami Dolphins. So I think that those are the two guys that I'm watching. We're here on this Friday episode of Locked On Jets, breaking down Dolphins, Jets, Week 9, Sunday in Miami. And we've gotten to our key to victory on both sides of the ball. And on offense, I'm going to take a page out of the team we saw last week, the Bears. And I really like the way the Bears open games. And, you know, the Bears script their first 15 or so plays, so that probably helps it. But I just like the way the Bears set their early plays. They run a lot of plays that are easy to execute, that have a high probability of producing positive yardage. I just like that approach. I like that approach for Sam Darnold because I feel like if you get some things going early, and it didn't really work well for the Bears last week because their offense stalled after that, but I feel like for Sam Darnold, if you get him going early, if you get him some early easy plays to execute, some early completions, you know, maybe that gets him more comfortable. Because I've heard about this from people, from guys who play in the NFL, from quarterbacks who played in the NFL. Sometimes how you start the game kind of sets the tone for the rest of the game. Now, not always. We saw week one how Darnold threw a pick six on his first passing attempt and then went out and played a pretty good game. So, not always. I mean, you think it's the Minnesota game where Darnold started red hot in the first quarter and just felt apart after the first quarter. It's not always, but I think in general you want to get your quarterback off to a good start, opposed to the alternative, because I think, you know, you're going to produce more good games. You're going to get him into the flow of the game. You'll get him, you know, you'll build his confidence level a little bit, get his sea legs under him. So that's just something I want to see the Jets do. I want to see the Jets run some, and now this assumes that there are some plays like this in the Jets playbook, which I'm not all that convinced of, but that's something I'd like to see the Jets at least try to do, at least run some plays with a high percentage plays with a high probability of success early to get Darnold going, and then go deeper into the playbook, then go into some of the more complicated things that the Jets run. So that's what I want to see. And part of it, you know, was going to be the Jets are going to have to establish the run in this game. I think that's the type of thing that will certainly help Darnold out in this game. The Dolphins have not been great this year against the run, so there's an opportunity there if Crowell and the line play well, have one of their good weeks this week, then it's something that could happen. Something that could help the team out. And then on defensive side of the ball, I'm just going to go with the basic mixture looks, because I don't believe in Osweiler. I don't think that he's the type of guy who's going to be able to decipher what the Jets are throwing out there. I think that if the Jets keep mixing their looks, they'll confuse them. They could force some mistakes that could play a big role in determining the outcome of this game. So that's I'm going to go pretty basic on that one, just because you're going up against a quarterback who we all know is not that good. How many teams have given up on Osweiler in the last 2-3 years? So it's not that complicated. You have to beat Osweiler. And to be one of the ways you beat Osweiler, you beat a limited quarterback like that, is you show him a lot of different looks, and hopefully you fool him and you force him into a mistake. And if the Jets can do that, then they're going to have a chance to win this football game and get to 4-5 with a chance to go into their bye at 500. So that's the goal right now. If the Jets can get to the bye at 500, I think you have to be pretty happy with where the team's at relative to where they are in the build. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, your two best bets, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. I hope you have a great weekend. Again, we're not going to be doing a show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. I should be back Thursday, though, so hopefully you can get through without a couple days of the podcast, without a post-game podcast for this Miami game. And I look forward to talking to you again later next week. I hope you take care until then.